Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see everybody today. In case you don't know me, my name is Frank Termine. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church. And we've got a special guest speaker today here that I'm excited to introduce to you. Now, we, about 15 years ago, decided that we wanted our church to be aligned with other churches in the area that thought like us, that believed like us, that worshiped like us. So we joined a movement. It was at one time called the Baptist General Conference, but it was changed to Converge a few years ago. It's probably a lot of years now. And Converge is worldwide. It's a worldwide organization of churches just like Calvary Church that think like us and believe the Lord for everything he's worth. And so in the U.S., Converge is broken down into regions, and we're part of the Converge Northeast region. And we have a leader. His official title is District Executive Minister. And I guess you consider yourself pastor of pastors, right? And so Tim has been a great resource for me. He was previously at Valley Community Baptist Church as executive pastor there, and that's where I knew him till a year ago. Was it a year? About a year ago, he became the district executive minister, or DEM, for Converge Northeast. He's a great friend of mine, a great resource, and he's here with his lovely wife, Sharon. And so we're glad to have both of them here today. Pastor Tim has a background somewhat like me. He came from the business world, went to seminary, and he's Italian. So, Pastor Tim, would you bring us the word today?
Thank you, Frank. And Calvary Church, it's great to be with you this morning. What Frank may not know is I actually grew up in an Italian-speaking household. And all four of my grandparents immigrated from Italy, and we were part of a movement of churches early in this country, in the 20th century, of Italian immigrants, that when they came from Italy, they broke away from the Roman Catholic Church and started basically their own churches. And so my grandfather was an evangelist. He landed at Ellis Island and planted churches all the way from New York into Ohio. I grew up in a little small town in Ohio. In fact, this reminds me of when I was a teenager. I was actually licensed to preach in my church as a teenager, and remember doing outdoor meetings. And so you asked me if I have ever preached outdoors. Well, not since a few years ago, let's put it that way. But it reminds me of that. And one of the things I want to say to you, church, is how proud I am of you. I think the transition that you, Calvary, have made in this very uncertain time has been extraordinary. And I just want to say thanks to your leader, Frank, who helped you make this shift into something, some ways that you haven't really done before. You know, having to move from in-person services in that building to fully online, it's a remarkable pivot that you have made as a church. And I think one of the blessings that you are seeing is that you're seeing more and more people participate with you, especially online. And so I just want to give a shout out to folks online. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And let me pray, and then we'll jump into the word here. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. We are reminded of your majesty and your glory as we see the blue sky, the green grass, the wind, the heat, the sun. All of that bespeaks of your glory and majesty. And so, Father, as we have just spent time in these last minutes offering our praise to you, we rise up and we bless your name this morning. You are holy, you are majesty, you are awesome, you are glorious, and we give you praise this day. Not only for the gift of the day, but for the fact that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, offer our gifts of worship to you, but also come together to learn from you and learn from your holy word. So, Father, now as we look into your word, we pray that you would bless it, that you would, by your Spirit, inform us, that we would learn what it is you want us to learn this day, and that we would put it into practice, that we would not merely just be hearers, but we would be doers of your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I bring you greetings from Converge Northeast. We are a movement of churches. Basically, we want people to meet, know, and follow Jesus Christ. And the expression of Converge Northeast, we are about 100 congregations that are from the middle part of New York State and the middle part of New Jersey coming north and all of New England. And our goal together is to reach areas of the Northeast that do not yet have a gospel presence. Can you believe that? I met with a leader last year up in New Hampshire, and he was sharing with me that there are 55, he counted them, 55 towns in the state of New Hampshire that do not have access to a gospel presence without a significant drive. That seems amazing, doesn't it? Now, if you multiply that across the eight states that we are represented in Converge, the Northeast, it's probably double, triple, quadruple that. And so what is our role together as we reach people with the message of Jesus Christ? So that's what we're here to talk about today. And certainly the time that we live in is like no other. If you think of the from March 12th, those dates are burned in my mind. I was doing a pastor's retreat on Cape Cod that week in March. And on the way back, I was hearing stories on the news. Well, New York State closed. Connecticut closed. Massachusetts closed. But with no real guidance for our pastors. What were they to do? So I received about 20 phone calls on the way back from Cape Cod here to Connecticut. Tim, what are people doing? What should we meet? Should we not meet? What are the governors saying? And all of that guidance was just coming out. And if you think about that, the church is still the church. The church is not about the four walls of this building behind me and in front of you. The church is more closely represented to what we are doing here today and what you are doing as you reach into your communities each and every day of the week. That is the church. The church is not a building. The church is represented by men and women and children who know, love, and follow Jesus Christ as they reach into their communities. So if we think about COVID and the impact that has had on many of us, and then we think of the racial matters that have come up in this last month, and just the strife, the lack of civility that exists in our country, where men and women of different viewpoints and backgrounds have difficulty even talking with one another. But yet, the hope that we have is in the church and in the gospel. Because it's through the gospel that all peoples, all nations, all backgrounds can come together in Jesus Christ. That is the hope of the world, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Government is not going to solve our problem. The gospel, Jesus Christ, will solve all that ills us. And that is best expressed through his bride, the church. I can't imagine having to go through this year because we're not done yet. I'm sorry to say we're not done. Because as we're moving through this summer, we're faced with financial issues, fallout. We're going to be faced with a very contentious election this coming fall. So how will we, as followers of Jesus Christ, stand tall for the truth, stand tall for the gospel, and become, because of his grace, the light of the world? What is our role in that? What is your role in that? What is the church's role in that? And certainly we have been challenged as a church how to remain connected. So much of what we do is based on oftentimes having to do meetings here. But yet, as I said, I commend you because of how you have navigated that and you're still continuing to come together, sometimes virtually. But yet, the church is still the church. So as we think about this morning, now more than ever, we need strong local churches. We need men and women who are coming together, joined together in a common purpose and common beliefs in order to reach those who do not yet know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe when the local church and its members and attenders are doing all of this relationally, spiritually, that's when the gospel goes forth. I believe that healthy, gospel-proclaiming churches are the only answer for the problems we have in society today. And so as we think about this morning, I want to go to God's Word. Because I don't want it to be my words, I want it to be what God is saying to us by His Spirit as we read and proclaim His Word. And so if you want to follow along with me, I'm going to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And this gives us a picture of the early church. And here's what it says. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. So I'm going to give my main points right up front. Because as we walk through it, and this is really going to be kind of a turbo view of this, because each one of these points could be a sermon unto itself. So what I'd like to say first is, in this picture of the church, a healthy church is first upward focused. Second, a healthy church is inward focused. And third, a healthy church is outward focused. All of those must be held in balance. I'm sure you're familiar that when a church is one or two but not three, it's not entirely healthy. You can have great worship and your upward focus. You can have great prayer and your upward focus, but not have discipleship inward focus or care inward focus. You could have great discipleship and care, but not great outreach. And so let's unpack this together as we look at this passage. Again, a healthy church, up, in, out. All of those in balance. So first, a healthy church is upward focused. This is pretty straightforward. It's what we just are doing together today. We are worshiping together. And so there are two aspects of the upward-looking church. It's found in our worship and in our prayer. So as we think about this, where do we get worship in this passage? Well, there are a couple of places. First, in verse 47, it's not necessarily in order in this passage. It has this phrase, 46 and 47, where they met in the temple courts. They didn't have buildings necessarily like we do today in the early church. So the context of this is after the ascension of Jesus Christ. They just replaced Judas with another apostle, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the early believers were meeting daily in the temple courts. In fact, actually what we're doing here today is pretty close to what we would have seen in those early days of the church. Because they didn't meet inside a building, they actually met outdoors where everyone, they didn't have cars driving by, but everyone around them was observing what was going on. They took part in the temple worship, those daily practices that they were brought up with. So they worshiped at the temple. But another point here is not to miss is they talk about the breaking of bread. Now that's that definite article in front of breaking of bread tells us that this was a corporate activity. And what do we know of the breaking of bread in the context of worship? Well, that's the Lord's table. They celebrated the Lord's table together. That great memorial meal that Jesus shared with his friends on the night before he was betrayed. And then I don't want us to miss something else in this passage. It talks about awe that came upon them as they gathered together because of what they saw God do. So let me ask you this question. When we come together and we celebrate through worship, do we come with an attitude of awe and majesty? I would contend oftentimes we don't. I know I don't. I have the cares of the week that are on my shoulders. We didn't today, but maybe I had an argument with Sharon. You know, we had words. Again, different distractions might be creeping into our life. Day-to-day things like an illness or financial concerns. How do we put those things aside when we come into God's presence? It's vital. I would contend that if a great world figure, I'll pick one, say the Queen of England, were standing before you, you might look upon her with some awe and reverence. How much more so should we have awe and reverence for the Almighty God of the universe when we come together as his sons and daughters and worship him? We must all have a sense of the majesty of Almighty God. In fact, rather than sitting, we should be flat on our faces when we come into his presence. That should be an attitude that we carry with us day by day, because God is everywhere. We see him in everything. Scripture tells us that. Nature screams forth who God is. And so do we have the proper deference, majesty, and awe for who he is? The second aspect of the upward-looking church is healthy prayer. The definite article is also used here as well. It talks about the prayers. And this implies that prayer was part of the daily worship life together. I think one of the things that we've lost in our worship today is corporate prayer. It's one of those foundational elements of a church, a gathered body, to come before and acknowledging who God is through prayer. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about a long-winded pastoral prayer like I grew up with, but it's something that allows a congregation to align its heart with God's heart, because that's what prayer is. Prayer is an activity where we are acknowledging who God is and who we are not. We are acknowledging his majesty, his goodness, his transcendence, and our frailty. And we acknowledge who he is and what we need from him, because without him we are nothing. As I mentioned, prayer is a great aligning activity. And so what does our prayer life look like in the church? A final thought about prayer and worship. When we come together as a body to worship together, we should view this as the culmination of that which we have already done throughout the week. Whether individually or in family units, our daily life of prayer and worship allows us to come properly prepared for what we do on a Sunday morning. Right? And I think we know this intuitively. When we have prepared ourselves, Think about the proper attitude that we have as we then come into his presence as a body of people. We're better prepared. And so if there's a takeaway I want you to take this morning from this, is examine yourself. What does my daily prayer and worship life look like? And how much more enhanced will our time together be if I better prepare myself through the week? So a healthy church is upward focused in its worship and prayer. Secondly, a healthy church is inward focused, and there are two aspects of this, through discipleship and care. The passage states that in verse 42, right up front, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Early believers acknowledged that Jesus appointed the apostles as teachers, and they submitted to their authority. Now, the image we have here is the people were sitting at the apostles' feet, just learning and growing because they needed to know more about Jesus. Now, there's a simple definition that a friend of mine shared with me about discipleship. Basically, what it is that you are an imitator. The discipleship process is that by which we think of the rabbinic tradition. Students attach themselves to a rabbi because they wanted to imitate that rabbi. Likewise, as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to imitate Jesus Christ. And now we may need other folks to help us with that. We might need more mature believers who are speaking into our lives to help us with that. I personally have two what I call spiritual fathers that speak into my life. One of them happens to be Sharon's father, who is an Anglican priest. And the other was a pastor friend, or is a pastor friend, who was the person humanly responsible for calling me into ministry out of the business world. And so I still talk regularly with those men who are both in their 80s now, because they have wisdom and experience and knowledge far greater than mine. And so as we think about this, who is speaking into your life? And I would say this, is that discipleship doesn't stop at knowledge. Knowledge is important. Knowledge of God's word is critical. But if all we're doing is filling our heads with knowledge and not taking that next step towards learning, learning requires action, where we are actually putting the knowledge into action. And so as we learn about Jesus Christ, as we learn who he is, about his character, and we take on those characteristics as a Christ follower, how are we putting those into action in our daily lives? That's what discipleship is. I would say it this way. Discipleship means there's this life-giving, life-transforming movement that's happening in every church, where men and women, our children, are growing in their faith, they're growing in their knowledge, and they become imitators of our Savior. So that the church itself is being led by the Spirit of God to submit to the Word of God. The second aspect of the inward church is healthy care. And I think you've seen that expressed in what's been happening during COVID, where you've had to learn new ways to care for one another, to reach out, where you can't really be together, but they're required new ways in order to care for those in your midst. And we see that in the early church in verses 44 and 45. And there's a word here that's used. It's called koinonia. Koinonia in this context expresses what we share together, what we receive together, and what we participate in together. There's a physical aspect of this, but also a spiritual aspect. In the spiritual sense, what we share together is the common grace we receive from God the Father through His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be genuinely concerned for the spiritual well-being for others. And this is what allows us to come together, different people, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, because of the common grace that we share through Jesus Christ. It's because of this that we can be unified in our faith together. But there's also a physical sense here. This passage indicates that the early church shared in its material possessions. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them, the proceeds, to any who had need. And the big idea here is that those who were able gladly shared their material possessions. Those in the early church cared for and shared with those who had great need within the body of Christ. So what does this look like in our nation that is one of the most affluent on earth? One of my favorite pastor theologians says it this way, John Stott. He says, "Our God is a generous God. Grace is another word for generosity. And if our God is a generous God, we must be generous too. I would like to see more generosity, more simplicity, more contentment in the Christian community. That would be a great witness to the rest of the world." And that's the springboard to our final point. This witness that we have as a church, because when we saw in the early church the people sharing day by day, worshiping together day by day, breaking bread together day by day, people from the outside were looking in, and it was winsome. What's different? What's different about what's going on in the church? What is different about what's going on at Calvary that is attractive to those who are not part of this body? The third point, a healthy church is outward focused. Worship, prayer, discipleship, and care can all occur within the cocoon of the local church. You can do all of those activities without reaching one person with the gospel. But remember what I said. If it's not in balance, it's not healthy. It's when we get to verse 47 that we see how this was being expressed in the early church. And it says this, that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, it's important not to miss this, because who did the adding? The Lord did. But that doesn't absolve us, didn't absolve the early believers from sharing the message of the gospel. All we need to do is go back to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And I would stop here for a moment. All nations is not often the best translation, because we often think of nations as nation states. The Greek here is tante ethne, which means all peoples. All people of all backgrounds, of all ethnicities. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And now, as we think about the outward focused church, many of our churches are really good at ministry over there. What do I mean by that? It's often easy to give money to reach people who are across the ocean. And we have churches that are very strong in their international missions. That's wonderful, and I commend that. But I want to take you to Acts 1:8, because Acts 1:8 helps us understand what an outward-focused church is to do in its full expression. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, the way I read this passage, it's not an either-or. It's Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Basically, as a church and as believers, we are to reach everywhere and share the gospel, both near and far. Now, what does this look like today? Our culture is changing. How folks live around us view the church is changing. When I started in ministry 25 years ago, oftentimes we could just open our doors with an outreach activity and people will come. And I think as you have experienced this, I know I have in my 25 years of working in the church. Yes, people still do come, but it's not as easy as it was, say, 25 years ago. The church I started with in the Boston area, we did an outreach event every Christmas, and we'd have 15,000 people come over 2 weekends. And what we saw over the course of years of doing that was a shift. It became less about non-believers coming, but is more about Christians coming to be entertained. And so as we think about the cultural shift that we've gone through, we have this phenomena of people called those who are less religious. They may have grown up in the church, but they've left the church, or they're just non-religious. And so how do we as believers reach folks that just don't have the context of what church is like, a healthy church? And so one of the things I want us to think about as we talk about outreach is, how are we reaching in to the community where we are located? And I know that's a question that you have been working on as a church, as you're looking at how do we reach West Hartford and the surrounding communities. What is the heartbeat of this town? What makes it tick? What are the issues that this town faces? And then how can you, Calvary, reach into this community? Pastor Tim Keller says it this way: how do you bring the gospel to bear on the hearts of the people around you? What's the culture of your town? How would you describe it? How are you involved in the civic life of your town? What are the hard questions that people are asking as they live life here in this community? We must demonstrate the gospel in word and deed in our communities. Oftentimes we have heard the question asked this way: would West Hartford miss you if you weren't here? I hope the answer to that is yes. This town would miss us if we weren't here, because that means that you are making a difference in this town. And that's a prayer that I have for you, that as you continue to learn and grow, as we all learn how to do ministry in this very different reality that we're going through in this nation, because we don't know when it's going to change. You know, when we'll be able to do possibly certain things that we're used to doing in a building. But that doesn't mean we stop being the church. So as I serve our community of churches in the Northeast, known as Converge Northeast, I have this vision that I want to see every town, every city, every rural area every man, every woman, every child, transformed by the love of Jesus Christ for his glory, not our glory, not Calvary, not Converge. But we want to see a gospel presence reaching into every part of the Northeast. How can we do this together? You're a great participant with us. You financially support the Ministry of Converge Northeast. It's because of your generosity that we are able to strengthen other churches, to plant more churches, so that the gospel expands. We're not perfect. No local church is perfect. But as long as we are centered on God's word, being led by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can't go wrong. And so as I close, are you balanced as a local church? One that looks upward in prayer and worship. One that is focused inward in discipleship and care. And then one that is outward focused in the full expression of evangelism. Local, regional, and global, so that the message of the gospel rings forth from this place, so that this church is seen as a beacon of light in its community, in the region, and in the world. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of it. We thank you for the simplicity of it. And it's only made so because your Holy Spirit has illuminated our minds to be able to understand it. Now, Father, as we entered this time together, I prayed that we would be doers of your word. And so that is my prayer, that as we close our time together, that we would walk from this place better equipped to take action and make a difference in this town, in this region, and in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.